A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude. This is Real Spoilers, episode 745.
There it is.
Spidey verse melty stuff.
Melty stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting choice. Interesting choice.
So I guess before we get too distracted, because we probably need to be on
It's going
to
be.
Yeah. Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And quick shameless plugs. Yeah. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you find a podcast. You can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's super helpful. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, do all the things. You can also hear me say your name, maybe even correctly.
Hey!
If it's super easy. If you share an episode on your Facebook or Twitter, and Facebook or Twitter allows me to see that you shared an episode. So people who were kind enough to share an episode this week, we got a bunch of new ones.
Oh, sweet.
A bunch of new ones. So I don't know if that's...
I wonder why.
Rick Ives?
Oh, that's... Well, that's a good point.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. From sharing...
Like, maybe he put us in front of a new audience.
Oh, I thought you were reading his name, and I'm like, wait a minute. There's
no
rule built up around
the Brad Hyland.
That's the first
rule.
Thing you said. I'm like, wait. Okay,
no,
I'm
not reading him within the list proper.
James Gunn, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Nathan Fillion.
Chris Pratt, Van City somebody.
Yeah.
Here we go. Chris Valls, Lane LeVanway, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Julianne Jordan, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Katie Brackett.
Finally.
Yeah. Well, it was Little Mermaid.
That's fair.
Rich Foster, David Malamud. Hope I'm saying that right. Andrew Stovall, which I was really... I'm excited you share the show, of course, but I was really excited for a second because I thought it said Andrew Sandoval, who is the manager of the Monkees.
Oh, dang.
I was like, what? Corey Tatum, Justin Esquivel, Cinema Recall, Dissect That Film, Binge Movies, Invasion of the Remake, Heather Sachs, David Rojas, Colby Mack, Spoiler Piece Theater, Collateral Cinema, Ronnie Castle, Matt Naglia, Geek to Me Radio, Vertigay 314, Ryan Terry, Nostalgia Cast, Feel and Film, Batman Rye Guy, and In Session Film. So thank you very much for sharing an episode. We greatly appreciate it. You can also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content.
Oh, yeah.
And we like you more.
It's true.
So,
and you can't forget the YouTube.
And the YouTube. Yeah, you can look at us.
Yeah.
You can stare into our warm,
dead
lipid
eyes.
Pools.
Oh.
Of eyes.
And, yeah. I mean, it's growing slowly but surely. We went from, a month or so ago, we had just hit that 200 subscriber mark. I think we're up to like 270 now.
Hey now.
Our Fast and Furious episode, Fast 10, whatever it's called, has 1,300 views, which is like our third highest, and it's been out a week, a little over a week. So
this is why those movies keep getting made.
Wow.
People keep tuning in.
People are curious.
Well, I don't know. Isn't the box office kind of collapsing? I mean, it's going to be on streaming. I think they said June 9th.
Yeah, next week.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. A month.
So that's awfully quick.
Those are global. Those are usually global, just massive. Yeah. And I could not believe they said,
I wonder, honestly, though, it's not going to be a... It's an uphill battle at this point, given we're going to have Transformers, Indiana Jones,
well, that's
the Flash.
What I think they realized once they saw Little Mermaid and Spider-Verse. It's like, okay, they're still making a little money, but also it's going to be on digital for $30 next week.
Oh.
It's not going to be on $9.99. It's going to be on
It's not going to be on Paramount or Peacock, right? They're Peacock.
Yeah.
It's Universal.
Yeah. But no, it's going to be on Theater at Home, which is their $30 to own.
That's a little bit different. So I thought it was going straight to Peacock.
No, so they're going to be making $30 a pop, which is, you know, the price, what they'd get from a few tickets.
Sure.
You know, not having to split with the theaters and all that. So, you know, it's a little, but it's crazy. Still, though, the fact that you can see what would usually be $1 billion theatrical franchise a month later instead of racking in the, right. Also, I wanted to mention, Justin from Epic Film Guys shared the show this week. Good dude, friend of the show. He has a series called The Keaton Cast. So he's been pumping up and hyping up The Flash.
It's so nice because people will talk about Buster Keaton, the silent film stars. Like, you don't ever hear people talk about Buster Keaton.
Oh, see, I was going Diane.
Harold Lloyd, Charlie Chaplin.
Just all of Diane Keaton's greatest hits.
Yeah. Hats off to the Epic Film. And it's a little like old time newsboy cast.
It is, yes. Yeah. So, but if you follow Justin, you should on social media at Epic Film Guys or Justin on Facebook and all that stuff. He loves Michael Keaton, loves the Keaton Batman, and is sharing stuff all the time about The Flash, any stills, trailer, you know, whatever. He hosted a screening. He went to CinemaCon and saw the cut there. Like, obviously, it's huge to him, and Keaton's huge to him. And so he's got a series on the Epic Film Guys called Keaton Cast. So check that out. And if you're getting pumped for The Flash and want to see Keaton back on the big screen after 30 years, like, that's the podcast to listen to. And then check ours out, certainly,
when
we post that episode.
I would like to be on your Mr. Mom episode.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you would.
I love that movie.
It's so good.
Megan, you're making me crazy. That's what you're making me. Anyway, Spider-Verse.
So I don't think I can't think of a time when a company has doubled down on a character that is more than 60 years old, right? Miles Morales debuted in 2011.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty rare.
It's funny because I didn't buy any of those Ultimate comics because at that point in time, we had been, as comic book fans, so burned by we're going to start a whole new universe and it'll be great. And it's just like, yeah, nice
sure
try.
Will.
I've been down this road.
Fool me once.
They literally had something called New Universe.
They had New Universe and then they had all the 2099 stuff and it was all trash.
Yep.
And so,
speaking of 2099,
they're certainly rehabbing that. But if you go back and read it, it's garbage.
It is.
But man, that first movie comes out, and they saw the potential with that character.
Well, I think
there's no question. I mean, you mentioned it last week. We talked about Little Mermaid and what that means for people to see themselves represented. And you see how Spider-Verse not only is Into the Spider-Verse an incredible masterpiece of filmmaking, but you've got people showing up, you know, with their money to see this character on the big screen.
I just want to say something real quick about the representation angle for the people that get frustrated with that, right?
Sure.
First off, go.
Thank you.
But second, and now that you're not going to listen to anything I say, but second, like, comic books have always been about representation.
The underrepresented.
Right? Like,
always.
Why do you think Batman had a boy sidekick, right? Because they knew who was reading these books. 10-year-old kids.
Yep.
What can we do to keep a 10-year-old kid interested? What if his partner was a 10-year-old kid?
Thank you.
So this isn't anything new in any way, shape, or form. What do you think Peter Parker was, right?
It's a 16-year-old nerd.
Who is reading these books? Oh, nerds.
Right.
What if the hero was a nerd? Oh, okay. So, like, you're mad about representation because they decided to suck somebody else's instead of your own, right?
Like,
they've been doing this for literally 70 years
plus.
Mad about representation, that really means racist.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's, this is the thing, is people,
they just started to represent other things.
That's right. Yeah. But the character, like, this is, you know, this isn't Peter Parker.
Right.
This is a different character.
They didn't take Peter Parker. I'm not saying that you could never do this anyway, but I'm just saying they didn't go, oh, Peter Parker's black now.
Right.
Which they would obviously complain about. It's like, there's a different character.
And
it's
that would be weird. I think it would almost feel, well, one, it feels like pandering.
Yes.
Two, I think it also kind of feels like, I know it's a comic book, it's not a real actor, but it almost feels kind of like blackface. Like, what if we just told you Peter Parker was black and told the same stories? Like, that would be weird.
Yeah. But also, I think you've got, I mean, Spider-Man came out in 64.
Oh, right. Congratulations. 62. Time for Pride Month.
Yeah, right.
That explains the outfit.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so, like, you've got, you know, 70 plus years of stories, and then you're just going to be like, oh, you know what? You would do this in the Ultimate Universe.
Right.
Right? That's where you do it.
And that was the point of the Ultimate Universe, right?
Yes.
Is that it was like, hey, we're gonna take the building blocks that you're familiar with, but we're going to assemble them in different ways. But it's all over here. It doesn't interact with the quote-unquote real Marvel
Correct.
Universe.
Until it did.
Because one of them is real,
right? 616, yes.
But it doesn't interact. It doesn't affect that. So, like, you can't get mad at us.
Yeah, there's no rules in the Ultimate Universe, right? You can let Uncle Ben live. You can kill Mary Jane first. You can let Gwen be the girlfriend. You can kill Peter Parker, which is what they... Spoilers for the Ultimate Universe. They kill Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And Miles takes over. That's why Miles becomes Spider-Man, is because Peter Parker dies and Miles takes over.
And that's what happens in the movie.
Much like in the movie, yeah.
Yeah.
But this character, you know, I go to The Walking Dead and Miles Morales. And, like, those two properties, like, The Walking Dead should not have worked.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I would argue that it didn't. But,
but it did, though. Like,
it did. It lasted for a long time, and people loved it. I was so bored by that show after, like, the second season.
I got to the penultimate episode when they kill a certain character.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm done.
Oh, right. Who quits at the second to last episode?
That's not the penultimate episode of the series.
Not of the series.
Oh,
Of when they kill...
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I knew this was coming. Like, I read this 3 years ago.
Right.
I knew this was coming. But, like, those two, like, comic books and comic book properties have always doubled down on Batman, Superman, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, the X. Like, those characters are forever. So, getting another, I think Kamala Khan is a great example. Getting that character who is, again, a new-ish character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Miles Morales and these characters that it's like, yeah, there's other stuff out there besides.
I think it's similar to the Iron Man situation. It's born out of necessity.
Going to the bench.
Right? Like, it's like they couldn't get Spider-Man.
Right.
Or X-Men. So they were like,
who we got?
Iron Man, maybe?
That could work.
Right?
And that ends up being a great movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I think with Miles Morales, I think it's a similar situation where they were nervous about doing another Peter Parker story. I know Peter Parker's all over this movie, but he's also not really all over this movie.
Sure. He's barely in this movie.
I mean, but there's a million Peter Parkers.
Oh, sure,
right?
Sure.
But
Peter parked car. Yeah.
That was great.
So many good ones, man.
But I, you know, it was kind of born out of necessity. So it's like, oh, well, we can tell this other story and still have Spider-Man on the poster, but it's not the quote unquote real Spider-Man.
The Miles Morales character became insanely popular.
I mean, I think there's going to be a generation of of people who this is
their Spider-Man.
Is the real Spider-Man.
I think that goes to the Green Lantern. Brian's friend of the... But my point is, there's a whole generation of people who don't know who Hal Jordan is.
Yeah.
Because Jon Stewart was the Green Lantern on the cartoon.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So when they keep going back to Hal Jordan, it's like, you know, if you do a Jon Stewart movie, like, you might have more success because more people might recognize who that character is.
Yeah, that is where you need creatives that love comic books and, you know, but I guess when they're like, we want Ryan Reynolds, well, he can't be
Jon Stewart. Yeah,
so,
that's bad.
a lot of business decisions are made for the casting, right? And then, like we said, I mean, you can't always flip those things.
No, but now we're supposed to get a Jon Stewart TV show.
Yeah.
Like that's the Green Lantern TV show. It'd be Hal and John as cops.
But either way, I mean, they made the right call. They made this story in 2018 mm-hmm. about Miles, and it was insanely popular and insanely good.
Yeah.
I mean, the animation was mind-blowing back then, to the point where it's like, how are they going to top this? There's no way. They already reinvented what animation can be. And then this comes out, yeah. and you go, oh, okay. I knew what animation could be again. And like now I have to relearn what they can do, because they do things in this movie. I'm watching this thing and on a technical level, and not saying it's all like scientific, you know what I mean? Like I'm enjoying it. I'm not just looking at, but I'm just like, my mind is getting blown that they can move the camera this way and change animation styles and mix them together the way they
do. And each world looks different.
Yeah. It's amazing. Well, and we,
I mean, and it almost, you would almost think it was like rotoscoped or something.
In Gwen's world?
Yeah. I wonder if some of it is motion capture, because the way that, especially with Gwen that I noticed, I'm like, I wonder if that's any of that is performance, because it looks so real, but animated,
right? I think the thing that really stuck out to me about this movie is how much the script didn't feel like an animated film.
Not at all.
This felt like an actual quote unquote, I mean, I know animated films are movies, but it felt like a script that maybe wasn't even intended to be animated. Like, clearly it was, because it's a sequel to an animated movie. But like, if you shot this live action as an MCU movie, and sweet baby Jesus, please don't do that. But if you did, this script works.
That goes back to the big thing that people, we've been seeing a lot of people online mistakenly refer to animation as a genre, and it's not. Animation's a medium.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You can tell any story in animation. There's obviously the most popular animation is kids' cartoons. Right. That's what people, you know.
It's the same way that comic books aren't a genre.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yep.
Comic books obviously started out for kids, but then they started telling adult story. Those kids grew up and became comic creators, and you have stuff like even the Ninja Turtles, mm-hmm. which is obviously very adult and not meant for kids. It got turned into that to sell toys, but comics are not just for kids, and video games are not just for kids, and movies, animation, people sometimes, and even people in the industry refer to animation as a genre, and it's not, and they need to stop making that mistake, because there's amazing storytelling happening.
Well, we talked about it Fabulous Mr. Fox.
But until the last 10 years or so, it kind of was a genre. I think that's fair. When 98% of your content within that medium is the same genre, it's an easy mistake to make.
But it's an easy mistake, but it's still not right, because look at the Miyazaki stuff. Yeah. We're talking about, you know, mm-hmm. stuff, manga and Studio Ghibli and all that stuff from the 80s. We're telling very adult stories in animation.
It doesn't count.
Well, to that point, though, like, I do think that anime does have, like, kind of a different, it just has a different vibe to it than, as accessible as the Disney stuff, right? Like,
say animation is kids' movies, even though anime, just like manga, may be a different subset. Like what we're saying, there's more adult and there's kids' stuff, but it's still animation. That's just, period, end of story. You can't say animation is a genre. It's just not.
I don't think you're wrong.
I'm just saying I get why those two get conflated, because the vast majority mm-hmm. of the content created within that medium was one genre.
For sure.
In the same way that comic books is, for most people, synonymous with superheroes.
Yeah.
When, like, let me put up my nerd glasses actually. But I also...
Old Boy, History of Violence,
Road to
Perdition,
Cherry Pop Tart.
Hey,
but in average everyday conversation, if someone says comic book movie, like, I'm like, yeah, I know what you mean.
I get it.
I don't feel the need to.
Sure.
Right. But I think, I mean, to your point though, I remember as a kid, right? You would we'll say 1994. You've got a plethora of Disney movies, but you had mm-hmm. to go look for Akira or things like where they only have one copy of that. So I do think that Disney flooded the market,
of course,
and then changed what animation was, where now we have kind of gone back to, like we talked about last week, The Fabulous Mr. Fox or Wallace and Gromit, which is kind of kid-related, but it is a style of animation, you know? And then we get Mitchells versus the Machines, and we get this, and it's just like...
Hats off to Lord and Miller. Of course, they're producers on the Spider-Verse movies, but Mitchells versus the Machines, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, the Lego movie, and obviously they've done live-action stuff that's great too, but they have changed the animation when we talk about it being a medium and... you know, what you can do with animation. I mean, look at making a whole movie out of Legos and how wildly successful that was. Mm-hmm. And the way that that animation looked like you were playing with Legos, but it was all CG. And Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is a great animated movie. You know, and so they've done it again where they're producers on both the first and this Spider-Verse movie. And here you have for the second time in this series, in this two movie series, they have changed, they have pushed the boundaries of animation in such a way that now, for years to come, we are going to see that. Look at Ninja Turtles. Look at the Ninja Turtles.
I thought the same thing.
Does that not look like
it looks just like Spider-Verse?
Yeah. Or look, Puss in Boots. That's DreamWorks. Puss in Boots look like Spider-Verse. Uh-huh. These guys are changing, you know, I don't want to say
but people are no longer trying to look like a Pixar movie.
That's exactly
right.
Yes. And, I mean, Ice Age looks like, you know, a knockoff of a Disney movie.
And last week when I was talking and you even got confused, like, with what I was saying was why not make Disney live action animation a little bit more like a Pixar movie? And then we started talking about Disney princesses with Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, that's Disney. And I was like, oh, I know. Like, I wasn't saying that was Pixar, but Disney animation and Pixar animation now look the same style.
Yes, it's correct. They used to have different house styles.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, like, Pixar does that type, and now Sony does this type, but now you're starting to see other people take Sony's animation style. And so it's becoming the new, like, cool animation is the Spider-Verse. So these guys are changing the game, and they're telling amazing stories. The writing is incredible in these movies, and the animation is breathtaking. It is mesmerizing, the way the camera moves. I mean, when they... Gwen Stacy's world is watercolor.
Yes.
You know, we had never seen her world.
And I will say that kind of represents... Robbie Rodriguez, I think, was the artist who did that issue of Edge of the Spider-Verse number 2 is the introduction of Spider-Gwen. And his art style does kind of have like a watercolor style to it. So when they implemented that into her world, I was like, all right, that's pretty cool.
And it looks incredible based on what the characters are feeling. You see her very like cold and blue and shut off, and her father's warm, and they hug, and they start, the watercolors come together, and her world warms up, and it's isolated. You see the characters and the backgrounds are all isolated and vague. I mean, it is amazing what they're telling you without any dialogue, what this animation does. And that's why animation is such an incredible medium. That's why we use it to tell songs about singing fish playing instruments. We use animation because it is the medium that can express all these things.
Just can't let that go, can you?
Without words. But it's the point, right? Like, that is why they do it. And when you don't do live action, if you want to do live action, maybe tell a different story or a different song, because they're not used the same ways, right? So anyway, the animation in this is incredible.
Yeah, it's I mean I
would love to know the thought process between how you animate a movie like this, in terms of there are so many quick edits.
Sure, right, like so many quick edits.
And like, I get in a live action movie, right, you shoot a bunch of footage, and then you just start cutting back and forth. But like, if you have to draw all
there is
those,
no footage to shoot.
There's no footage.
Storyboard.
Like, you have to literally like show this for 2/10 of a second.
Yeah, that's...
which I know is really 1/5 of a second. Don't at me, math people. But I don't even know how you storyboard that. It's not like just draw this scene where they're walking from this place to this place. It's
that
like,
train fight is ridiculous.
Yeah, like I
incredible.
I don't know how you even map out something like that.
I know part of how you do it. 1,000 animators on this film.
Is that what it was, really?
1,000.
But that's labor distribution, right? How do you assign to them
you have lead animators and they have directors for a scene, and then you have people work on different characters and stuff. And clearly there's so many Spider-Men that you have to have a lot of different types of animators. But it's just massive. The fact that they had 1,000 people working on this movie.
Yeah.
And it's also one of the longest animated movies of all time.
Oh, is it really?
And it was 2:15.
Yeah.
Okay.
From a major studio. Now, there's other stuff. There's some anime stuff. There are other projects that are technically longer, but this is one of the longest from a major studio, and it's half a movie, right? So this is really a 4 or 5 hour movie or whatever.
So was the other half done?
I don't think it's done, but it comes out in March.
It comes out in March.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Like, I think
I betcha.
If it's not done, it's got to be real close.
Okay.
Because someone asked online, they're like, this movie got delayed, you know, and some, because this was supposed to come out last holiday season, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And so I think, you know, the worry is like, this movie is so incredible. How are they going to get it out in March, a whole nother movie? And I think it's already close to done. And they just realized, well, one, it's really long and, you know, let's get another ticket out of this thing.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
But I don't think they're now like trying to rush to finish.
It is interesting when we get to the end of this movie is like, you know, sometimes when you get to a two-parter, you're like, well, what the hell else are we going to, what are we going to do now? But the way they leave this off, it's like, you do have a whole nother movie.
Setup.
You do. It's a great setup the way this ends. I know some people are bitching and that it's like, oh, the story just stops. I'm like, it's called a cliffhanger.
Yeah. There's a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like cliffhangers either, but I can recognize it's like, you got one hell of a movie here.
Yeah.
You do. And it doesn't feel to me like the story stops. It feels very deliberate. Right? Like, it's like,
yeah,
it's another
it's
story.
Like they have a reveal, and you're like, what? And then now it's like, wait for it. And,
yeah.
And
this,
you know,
is an empire.
I was going to say, for the people that are bitching about this, I have three words: Empire Strikes Back.
You have to wait till March,
you
people.
Giant.
Because
when I was 10 years
three,
old, when
four?
I was 10 years old, uh-huh. I was 10 years old when Empire
How
Strikes
old?
10.
Okay.
We had to wait three years.
That's
we
crazy.
Didn't have, we didn't have an internet.
Yeah,
we didn't
also have, you had nothing else to watch.
We didn't have home video releases.
Right.
Like, you know what we had, motherfucker? We had Bantha Tracks. Do you know what Bantha Tracks is? It was the Star Wars fan newsletter.
Is that still
and
around?
I mean newsletter. Yeah. It wasn't even in color. It was five pages long. Do you know what Bantha Tracks was in the summer of 81? It was five pages in black and white, two of them about Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh,
so when people are like, oh, I've got to wait till March for the next Spider-Man movie, eat a
And could this is the problem with TikTok.
Could you
Everything
imagine?
Is so instant.
Yeah.
Let me get the next thing.
Right? I don't want to live through that because that sounds awful. But the idea of like the end of Empire and you are just sitting there and you have nothing else.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
You're going to see Empire 12 more times in theaters.
You're not going to get to watch Ahsoka on Disney Plus.
Right.
You're just going to have to live in a world where
Lord
knows.
I think also like how mind-blowing that was too, because there was no internet with spoilers back
then. Sure.
You just walked in coming off like, oh, Star Wars was fun. And then you're like, what? His dad is who? What happened to his hand? Why is Han frozen and what?
Oh, they've got Leia?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
They're losing and now it's over? What?
They're losing. That's true. That everybody loses at the end of that movie.
I mean, I do kind of I understand it, but I do kind of hate they took part one off the title. This movie was supposed to be called part one.
Yeah.
And I do get people not knowing and being like, what the hell? Like, if it was on there, they would go, oh, it's part one.
Right.
And I think they purposefully, very purposefully, now does this movie. It is a full movie. Like, it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What I mean is, there is a cliffhanger, but you get enough to necessitate, okay, this doesn't cut at the middle mark.
Right.
And feel like this is 50% of a movie. You get a full movie.
You mean like Fast 10.
Exactly, right. Fast 10.
So, but I just do think that is a little crappy because people in my theater did go, oh, what? And like, they didn't know. We know because we're perpetually online in the film space. For your average person.
It's funny. I didn't know.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh, really?
You didn't follow that whole thing.
But I didn't. Okay. But I could tell just by the way the movie was pacing. I was like, oh, they
can't.
I'm like, they're not even close to wrapping anything up.
Yeah. Not even close.
And you know, so it's like I could tell like we were ending on some sort of cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Because I know I give this show a lot of trouble, but I mean this as a compliment. Hmm. It was following the beats of a Lost episode.
Sure.
Like, and so I could tell, like, we're ramping up to something, and it's going to pull the rug out from under you, and then it's going to be like, see you next time.
Right.
That's why there was Polar Bear Spider-Man.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And because of the Coke tie-in.
That's also right, yes.
So we should talk about the plot of this
movie.
Yeah,
so this
movie, it's a year later or so from the first.
We initially that I was like, oh, is this going to be a Gwen movie? Like, there's a lot.
I mean,
of
the
Gwen
first 20 minutes
is all Gwen.
20 minutes before you get the title card.
Yeah.
And you know,
but it's very clever because we find out in the end that what this is, this her telling the story is her recruiting her own Spider-Man crew. She's telling what, when, you know, she's telling the story and saying what happened to Miles. And at the end of the movie, we see now she has her own followers.
Yeah.
So that's her telling them the story. She's telling us like she's telling them.
I got you.
The story of Miles. And that's how she got them on board to follow her.
That's how I interpret it.
So it's a bookend.
I just kind of took it as I know Gwen's backstory because I've read that comic a million times, but I took it as like nobody knows.
Yeah.
Like Gwen.
But she's telling Miles' story, and we already saw it in the first movie.
No, they're telling her story, right?
Well, she does, but she recounts Miles' story from the first movie,
yeah,
which is also obviously for the audience in case they didn't see Into the Spider-Verse. They're going to recap them. But she's telling Miles, and I took that as yes, it is a device for the audience, but that's also how I took it as her enlisting the Spider-Man.
But we, to that point, though,
yeah,
the Spider-Man that she's. Spider-Men and people that she and recruits, they already know.
Some, the few of them that we saw.
There's two that don't. But, I mean,
I figure that's kind of how she gets Hobie on her side and how there's another one. Like, I don't know.
Spider-Man of India is the other one.
Yeah. Like, because, I mean, they interacted a little bit, but they didn't know his whole backstory.
Right.
So I don't know. And maybe it's just my interpretation, but I did think it's cool that, you know me, I hate, you know, the lazy exposition.
Lazy exposition,
and so you could say like, oh, why are we hearing this already? We saw the first movie. But if you say, well, she's doing this for other characters.
That's fair.
I do like there to be a rationale for repeating the same information you should already know.
And they follow the kind of the framing device of the first one where they were like, okay, one last time.
And this Peter Parker's
like,
dead.
Okay, let's try this different.
Peter Parker opens the first one. It's not even Miles. It's Peter Parker.
Right.
And he's dead. So now you have Gwen doing it. So
But Miles does it at the end, right?
I think he does it at the end. Yeah,
he does it at the end of the first one, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the beginning of the first one is the Chris Pine.
Is Peter Parker.
Is Peter Parker.
Yeah.
The end of that first one is Miles.
Recounting, I'm New York Spider-Man.
Yeah, and now we've got Gwen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one, we open up with Gwen in Gwen's world. They introduce the Mary Janes, which is the band that she's in. We see her dad as Captain Stacy, and there was a part of me that was like, can we just get Dennis Leary to do the voice of Captain Stacy? And he's one of my favorite parts of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Really
he's great in that. I'm going to get this out of the way right now. The cameo of Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are literally just reused scenes from The Amazing Spider. We see them in, you know, like.
But this movie, what a great job it does of showing how all the multiverses exist.
Right.
Yeah. They show you, because in the MCU, when they're trying to pull in the Sony Marvel stuff and all that, it's kind of unclear. Like, you know, you got Venom and then No Way Home, you pull in these other guys and you're just like, how
and
is this all happening?
Immediately kick them right back out. Yeah.
But like in this movie, you see all these different webs and you see all the different stories from comics, video games. This really showed us how they all exist in the same
story. No Way Home, right? That's the most recent one.
Yeah.
Okay. So that one doesn't get into, it gets into the multiverse in the movie sense. This one is like, no. There are movies. There are animated shows. There are comic books. There are video games. There are all of this different, that's the multiverse, right? And it's, unfortunately, I think we're going to get more of this whenever they release that Madam Web movie.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible idea. Like, it's awful.
Maybe.
But
I don't know.
No. When's the last time Sony made a good live action Spider-Man inspired movie?
I know. But you could say that about a lot. Like, oh, we're going to make a Lego movie, or we're going to make.
I disagree, though. But Sony has.
But there, Lord Miller.
Look, I was skeptical of the Lego movie, but there also hadn't been like 15 lousy Lego movies from the same studio.
Right.
Running up to that movie.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm
optimistic about it. I
mean, yes, you always, you know, you always go into theater hoping for the best. Like, you know, you want to keep it
open
mind, but just statistically speaking, I think it's going to be a piece of
trash. We have on every single Sony Spider quote unquote related movie that they've done.
Oh, when I saw the Venom universe and I'm like, can't we just forget that exists?
But
like,
here's
I wish
the best
they
part.
Written that
here's
out.
The best part.
What's that?
There's no Venom It's the gal, the clerk at the store.
Like, I was when they showed her, and you're just like, that's Venom. Oh, yeah. It's so bad.
As long as it's not Venom.
Yeah.
I know.
Venom in name
only.
But
it means that it exists in this incredible movie, and I just hate it. I hate that that thing.
Well, you know, there are good things in the universe, and there are bad things
that's right.
in the universe.
But yeah, so she's lonely, right? She since her version of Peter died, and what happened with him is he becomes the lizard. He feels... In this world, Gwen is bitten by the radioactive spider. They're still, I don't really think that they say that they're romantically involved, but they're definitely like.
I think they're romantically
involved. They could have been. The way she reacts, I think it's possible.
I think this is from the comics, too.
This is exactly what happens in the comics. Yeah. Is he feels left out. He feels not abandoned, but like he wanted to be He's inadequate. Correct. So he uses the venom, the lizard formula, becomes the lizard, ends up dying. And it looks like Spider Woman is responsible for.
They don't call her Spider Gwen. That would kind of give away.
Well,
her.
That's true. But that's. I mean, I got to tell you,
Captain Stacy, who is this Spider Gwen?
In every single comic book iteration, the title of her comic is Spider Gwen.
I know. It's just when he's trying to look for Spider Gwen.
Yeah, it's a Spider Woman. Which the reason they can't call her that is because Jessica Drew exists. Sure. So they, you know.
But in this movie, I mean, there's millions of different.
Yes.
But there's so many different. Spider-Man is unlimited versions.
Right.
Spider-Woman. There's
which is why I don't understand why people get. So Jessica Drew is in this, and she looks completely different, right? Yeah. She's a black woman in this one. In the comic, she's a white woman.
Gasp.
And it's like, it's called the multiverse. Like, there can be a limited versions of Jessica Drew.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, that's the.
No one took it away from you. Like
there's your milk toast Jessica Drew is out there somewhere.
There was a black Spider Woman on the Electric Company.
Oh, was there really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
the one with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah,
yeah. There was a Spider Woman in that.
Oh, okay.
Black had similar hair. They might even be an homage.
Huh.
So that's from the '70s, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Jessica, I don't know what her.
So I mean, there's been so many different versions, and I don't know. The people that complain, we just need to get over that. Just need to, because you're not going to enjoy all this great stuff that's coming out if you're going to hyper focus on, oh, this person looked different than
They enjoy being mad.
That's
right,
it.
But
that's,
why live your life like that?
I don't know. But yeah, so she is, it's very similar to Peter's original story where he's on the run from the law. The law's always up his butt, you know, trying to catch him. Where now the twist on this is it's a father and daughter. Captain Stacy is the one who discovers Gwen, Spider-Woman over Peter's body. It's the assumption that she has killed Peter. So now she has to live this dual life, which I think is a thing that is in the Spider-Man mythos forever of Peter specifically trying to live a life as Peter Parker with a girlfriend or trying to visit, it's going to school, have a job, but also this, I don't even know, like this, just this pull to do Spider-Man stuff. Like he doesn't want anybody to get hurt.
Work-life
balance.
Struggle. And he's real bad at it.
I'll tell you, Joe, the thing that I came up with that I always usually say is with great power comes great responsibility.
Definitely a thing that is said a lot in some of these movies. Yeah. Did they make a joke about that? Miss that?
They do.
Okay.
They
don't say it.
They're like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So she ends up having to fight. There's a call for a superhero or supervillain incident at this museum. So she, of course, Captain Stacy goes and she suits up and she goes.
Guggenheim.
Which is also a reference to a Spider-Man writer. Like, I know that it's a museum, but Mark Guggenheim also wrote Spider-Man.
But it's great because it's a real exhibit. That's in New York, really, about that's, you know, and it's just this whole commentary on postmodern art and how they're just like, you know, they're poking fun at basically what the art is at the museum.
Maybe it's a Banksy.
Yeah.
They say that in the first.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And the Vulture, voiced by Yorma Taccone.
Should I know who that is?
Yeah. Lonely Island.
Oh, okay.
He voiced old 60s Spider-Man in the after credits of Spider-Man 29 when he's pointing.
That's pretty
good. But you know, Yorma does a lot of stuff. But anyway, he's voiced by Yorma Taccone. It's the Da Vinci-esque multiverse-looking Vulture.
I love that the way he looks, he looks like a Da Vinci drawing.
Yeah. And Gwen even goes, she's like, well, let me guess, you came out of some Leonardo Da Vinci universe, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, yeah, that's actually pretty exactly right. But he's like, this is not art. And then she's like, yeah, but you're talking about it. Like, it's a really funny, that's the thing. These movies are smart the way they're written.
I do like that while Gwen is not the spider, like she's not Spider-Man, she inhabits a lot of Peter Parker's traits.
Where it's just they even say that, right?
Yeah.
Like Peter B. Parker is like, but we all we're supposed to say funny
we're
things.
We're supposed to be funny things.
Yeah, when Spider-Man 20.
You're the only one that does.
You're the only one that
does
funny.
Yeah,
but I think that's great. That she's throwing some quips like while she's fighting.
Oh my gosh, when they get to Spider-Man headquarters or whatever, and they all are talking about the spot, and there's
Men in Spider Black.
Yeah, but they're all the little speech bubbles come up, and they all have quips about the spot.
Yes.
And trying to catch, like, it's just hilarious. You get 1,000 Peter Parkers together,
pretty great,
and they all have to outdo.
Yeah, they're all trying to be quippy.
Yeah,
and this is we get the reveal of Spider-Man Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099, and Jessica Drew.
Which is nice because I think I have like 3 or 4 copies.
As well you should, as do I.
Yeah,
I've got the foil cover.
It was in the quarter bin for a long time.
Does that go for anything?
I don't know. Let's get to take a look.
To the eBay. You talk, I'll look at it.
They're definitely worth more now, but those weren't great comics.
Oh, no, but they were
awful. It's a cool design, but they're not
great
comics.
No, it is not.
I love when he shows up in video games and stuff. I'm like, Spider-Man 2099 is awesome.
That suit is awesome.
The suit is awesome. Did you guys see the Spider-Man PS4 games in the movie?
It is briefly
when
yeah.
Gonkey's playing it in the.
You mean not Ned?
Well, Ned is not Gonkey.
Yes, he is.
What
in the character model for Ned?
Yeah,
is absolutely supposed to be Gonkey.
I know. That's what I just said. You said you mean Ned, and I said, well, Ned's not Gonkey.
Oh no, yes, right. I'm saying like the character. Right. Yes.
So, but he's playing it in the dorm room. But then also the Insomniac Spider-Man from PS4, voiced by Yuri Lowenthal. Is looking at when they are at Spider-Man HQ and you see video game villains, that's him in the Insomniac suit.
Yes.
And it's the guy voicing it, which is really cool. Yeah.
$14.
Yeah, like if you want to get it if you want to get it slabbed and graded, it's like 9.8 goes for 150.
Yeah, and that's okay. Don't grade things, kids.
Yeah.
I can instill any
that's
advice.
Neat, though.
But I also think if you're buying off the internet.
Yeah, just buy a raw copy.
Yeah.
Just go to your local shop. I'm sure they've got one somewhere.
Gwen at this point has nowhere to go, right?
Yeah, she can't, she's got this band friends, but they're not really her friends. Like,
but her father knows it's her.
No.
He catches her, yes, at the museum.
That's after she's been kicked out of the spider group.
No, she takes her mask off at the Guggenheim and he knows it's her.
No, it's not at the Guggenheim.
I'm going to watch this movie. No, what?
It's not at the Guggenheim. He has her at gunpoint.
They only let her go with them because they're like, she has nowhere else to go.
Okay, Wikipedia says Gwen is confronted on the scene by her father and reveals her identity to him.
Okay.
Boy, the way she pulls off that mask in the apartment.
That's why I guess I kept thinking that it was...
It like, felt like ta-da.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I hear you, but I'm like, that's a major plot point, and there was no way I was misremembering that.
Because
that's the catalyst for her going with the time traveler, the multiverse traveler.
Oh, you know what? Because you're right. Because she takes her mask off, and he does say...
He has her gunpoint.
Well, but he also starts to go through reading her rights.
But lovingly.
Yeah. Yes. Like, and then begrudgingly.
And they trap him in a 2099 device.
That's right.
And he's looking at her, and she goes.
And Miguel's like, let's... Because she wants to go. She wants to go the entire time, and... Miguel's like absolutely not.
And
like,
that's the
she
thing.
She doesn't know, like, there's these they're alluding to something, like, we don't we know that something is wrong, or that there's that Miles or that group from the first movie, maybe not Penny, or
he knows that he
Peter
can,
Porker, but
he knows he can't take
I think Peter Porker was otherwise occupied.
I think that's right,
although you see him at the end of the movie, so I'm wondering if they were able to have him back for the next one.
He will, and Nicolas Cage is back, like, he's at the end. But
you don't hear him talk,
right? Right, but this whole movie I'm like, that group was so great, and they weren't in this one, but I like how they did it.
But that character is getting a live action show on Amazon.
What?
Spider-Man Noir is getting his own show.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
But the way I read the whole Gwen thing was that, so, spoilers for later, but Spider-Man 2099 has this whole thing where you cannot disrupt these, what do they call them?
Canon events. Which I also think is a hilarious name for it.
Yeah.
Because that's what
Spider-Man
you call
canon.
Well, it's what you call, like,
what nerds call it.
Superhero lore is canon.
Yeah,
right?
Which is why they why they use it. The Captain Stacy is supposed to die, and then he thinks another canon event is going to unravel the universe.
Right.
So he can't take her. But once he sees that things have changed and now Captain Stacy knows it's her, he feels sorry for her and takes
her. Well, that's a big plot point in I think they reference the issue that he dies in. Like, they say ASM 99, something like that. And that's a big point for Peter, because Captain Stacy does die. Peter's holding him, And Captain Stacy has known the entire time that Peter is Spider-Man. He was like, just take, watch out for her, take care of her. What happens in issue 100 or 101? Gwen Stacy dies.
Yeah. So I think that's what they're alluding to, is that like they can't just take that universe's Spider-Woman away because she's important. But
there's
now
no Spider-Man.
Now things are all unraveling and all that. So she goes with them. And then we get to Miles. So that's like the prologue. It's like 20 to 30 minutes.
You don't get a title card for 20 to 30 minutes.
You see Miles, and then he's like, you know.
20, I looked at him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I looked, because I was like, what?
And now, you know, hi, I'm Miles. I'm New York's only Spider-Man.
Does the whole thing.
And we see the Spot, voiced by Jason Schwartzman.
Which is great.
I had missed that guy. You don't see him do much lately, and his voice is so distinct.
Yeah, and he's also he's in that new Wes Anderson flick.
Always in that, but so I thought he was great in this movie. Though. I thought he was very funny.
It's actually, he does a fun transition where he is kind of a dopey loser of a villain in the beginning, and then once he figures out what he can do, there is a change in that character and the voice.
I mean, we also saw this in Batman Forever. We saw it in Amazing Spider-Man 2. He's doing the nerdy, good
kinda.
Guy scientist to supervillain.
Right. Well, like arc. Loser, it's... loser criminal.
Yeah.
And I do like the reference where he's like, you don't remember me, do you?
Yeah.
And he's like, no.
He's
like,
the guy...
Miles is like, no, I don't. He's like, you threw a bagel at my face.
He's literally the guy when they're at Octavius's lab in the first movie. He threw a bagel to stop him running. Like, that's just great that they chose that character.
Right. And so basically his power is he can create portals. And in this, when we first see him for the first, he can't figure it out. Like he's still trying to figure out how the portals work. And Spider-Man does have a hard time beating him, but he ends up, he like ties them all up in different things or whatever.
Well, he also doesn't take him seriously.
At all.
Which is...
He's the villain of the week.
Right.
That's right.
Which is the grand mistake here. Now he had a guidance counselor appointment with his parents to try to map out his trajectory for school and everything, so like he was late for this appointment, but they let this guy go, and in the meantime he realizes that he can use his portals to travel the multiverse. Like he goes inside of himself in the portal, and then he can grab any spot, and so he basically uses that to to enhance his knowledge. He travels everywhere and starts
anywhere that they have a collider, which was the big point of the first movie. So Gwen shows up in Miles's world, and things are, there's definitely, it's a fun little thing where Peter Parker, Spider-Man and Gwen Stacy, like it's a thing. Like there's just, I do like the fact that they've referenced that it's almost just like this cosmic thing where Gwen and Spider-Man are attracted to each other. Like they're always, so that you get like hints of they're both into each other, but Gwen kind of doesn't pull away, but also doesn't lean into it, right? Like there's the scene where they're sitting on the roof upside down.
That's a great scene.
I think it's a wonderful scene.
Where they're on what tower? They're on some kind of tower.
But they walk, like the camera kind of
it moves
banks
with them as they start walking on the underside, and they sit and
have
a great conversation.
And I do appreciate that Gwen's hair is like going the opposite way.
Yeah, she's upside down. It's great. But I think it's because I mean she does care about him. I think it's made clear throughout the film, but she also is working with Spider-Man 29 and them, and she knows that she can't.
She
can't interact with him. She shouldn't even be there.
Yeah.
She was there to track down the Spot, but she is not supposed to interact with him because of these cataclysmic events that can happen if things change from the canon, which is why 2099 gets so pissed at her later.
Right. And we find out, the whole, there's a big fight with the Spot, and this is where they lose him into the multiverse, and they end up, Gwen, I think they go to India. Gwen goes through a portal, and Miles
Mombatton.
That's right. Which again, like, this is a character. This is a real character that exists in the comic books. Yeah.
Voiced by, you know who that is?
No.
It's Dolpinder from Deadpool.
Oh, is it really? Mm-hmm. That's pretty great. I appreciate that they keep bringing folks back into the fold in different iterations.
Yeah.
Miles follows her and goes to the multiverse, and this is where we see like bits and pieces of
Peter Parker. I just want to give his real name
instead of Peter Parker, right? Like that's the
played by Karan Soni.
There
the
we
actor.
Go. And we go to this other world, and they get there, and they're introduced to Spider-Man of India. And he's got a great costume design. Like, I think his costume design is great.
Oh, and the yo-yo thing that, with
his bracelet.
He flips around and then he puts it on as the web slinger. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's pretty dope.
So cool.
It's pretty dope. Yeah. And there's a giant event that's going to happen. And because Gwen and Miles are there, they save this universe's Captain Stacy,
yeah.
which was not supposed to happen.
Basically, what they end up explaining is that Uncle Ben is supposed to die, or your uncle is supposed to die.
Right.
Captain Stacy is supposed to die. There's all these things that no matter how you change it, they explain if it doesn't happen, then the world implodes on itself,
right.
basically.
Then I do like where they save Captain Stacy, then there's this giant black hole that starts opening up, and you've got a bunch of spider people that pop out. And if I'm sure when you slow us down, you're like, oh, there's the Future Foundation Spider-Man. There's that one. There's, you know.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many.
There's a lot. There's like the Hulk cool. Spider-Man that you see at one point. And they start to like try to shut down this hole. And now Jessica is pissed and Miguel is pissed. And they end up bringing Miles to Spider-Man HQ. And it is crazy pants.
So,
like, it is.
I think the first hour of this movie kind of bogs down a little
bit. Oh, you think so?
I do. But I think once they hit this point,
yeah,
it is off to the races, and it's great. Like,
yeah.
I think the first hour, I mean, there are things I like, but there are definitely times where I'm just like, what are we doing
well,
here?
Well, I think it's because this 2 hour, 15-minute movie is half a movie.
Yeah.
And so in order for them to justify having it be two parts,
yeah.
I think they had to expand.
But it's still 2:15. It could have been 1:50. That would have been...
No, right, yeah, you know, no, you're right. But I think I think to justify and to try not to piss people off, they said, we're giving you a lot of movie here.
Yeah.
And so I think they did maybe sit in some things they could have cut a little bit.
I feel like people are giving this movie a pass as a little harsh because it makes it sound like it's bad.
Right.
But I think that they're misremembering the first hour being a little sluggish because the last hour is
Man,
so
I guess I didn't.
Good.
I guess I didn't feel like it was sluggish because it was like an Easter egg hunt.
Well, the thing is that it didn't feel sluggish to me. I can see where you'd call it slow, but not in a negative way. It just wasn't as action-packed nonstop.
Yeah.
But because I was so enamored with the animation, it gave me so much to look at that I was enjoying it,
right.
even if it wasn't like
By no way am I saying the first hour of this movie is bad.
Right.
Sure.
Like, I don't think it's as good as the second hour of this movie.
Yeah.
I think once they hit the Spider Society, like, it is crazy good.
Yeah.
And I think the stuff you get in the last 20 minutes is...
Man
is like Shakespearean
in terms unbelievable.
Of all the things they've set into motion and that they start revealing to you that like don't feel like, oh, what if this would have happened? That's cool. It's like, oh no, that was
and
always
now,
there.
It was always
well,
there.
And when we get there, you start kind of rethinking some of the events from the first movie too.
Well, they've
been planting.
You. Yeah.
They've been planting little things where you're like, oh,
right.
okay, this is interesting.
And I think that's why it reminds me of the top tier Lost, right?
Because
when Lost was really working, that's what Lost would do. Like, it would be like, oh, by the way, you were never in the world you thought you were in.
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, by the way, this good guy's really a bad guy. Or this bad guy's really a good guy.
Yeah.
Or this person has really been this other person the whole time, and we never hid it from you. You just never figured it out. It's, you know, like, it was like a really good magic trick. And that's what the last 20 minutes of this movie is.
Yeah.
To me.
Like, and we're just going to spoil it right now. Making Miguel the bad guy is fun because that character is a blank slate.
Like, you know, but he's also not the bad guy.
He kind of is.
But he's different.
He's the antagonist.
It's different than revealing that Reacher was working with Jason Momoa.
Oh, I was like, what? Reacher's not the bad guy.
He's not the bad guy. He thinks he's doing the right thing.
Where I do think that you're right is that he does believe, and he's not wrong.
I like that aspect of Miguel, Spider-Man 2099, in that he is the hero of his movie.
Yes.
Right? Like, you know, he's not
He didn't
wrong.
Do any, when he takes the place of Miguel on another Earth, he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong because because much like Miles, he doesn't know how the multiverse works.
Right. And now he's trying to prevent that.
Right.
And it feels draconian.
So he is a good, I mean, he's how many multiverses is he saving by enacting these rules, but he's going about it the wrong way. And that's where you get into that, you know, that pull of,
it's a Thanos thing.
Is
like,
he
may have been right, but he went about it the wrong way.
Or Magneto,
yeah.
But Miguel's not even doing, like, Thanos is killing half the population to save half the population. Miguel is only protecting people from their worlds imploding. Like, he's not
anywhere
near as much.
But he's letting people die. right? He's letting Uncle Ben die. He's letting Captain Stacy die.
That is true. Though, I mean, in that way, it's two people, but we see he's right every single time.
Sure.
If you do not let those two people die, the entire world implodes.
Well, it's the greater good, right? Like, right. It's the line that he says, you can save one person or you can save everyone.
It's the train problem, the trolley problem. I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
There's,
and also the problem, too, is like, okay, you can save two people die to save 100. Okay. Four people? Eight people?
What do we do then?
What if 99 people die to save 100?
Right.
Right? Like, what? Where's your cutoff?
Right. Sure.
But certainly think, I wouldn't say he's a villain because he's letting two people die because 8 billion get saved.
No, I'm not saying.
He is Miles' antagonist, for sure, but he's not a villain. And obviously, in the next movie,
we're gonna get a villain.
But we're going to see him. He's going to learn his lesson. Miguel is not the bad guy. He's going to come to his senses.
Maybe.
And I think, so Miguel's backstory real quick is that the Miguel in another multiverse died and he took his place because he always wanted a family.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, he's gone anyway.
Right.
And so what difference does it make?
So
I could be this one.
Gives them a family. He gets a family. You know, it's all good. But then he realizes that causes the...
But it did cause, and it killed everyone. Yeah. And I do like the line where he looks at Peter Parker, our Peter, Jack Johnson's Peter Parker. And he's like,
Peter B. Parker.
Peter B. Parker. Yeah. And he's like, remember?
Jake Johnson.
Jake. What did I say? Jack?
Yeah. Jake Johnson.
Yeah.
Bubbly Joe's or whatever.
Well, that's the...
You're thinking Jingleheimer Schmidt.
That's exactly... I was also thinking...
His name is my name, too.
Yeah.
The folksy guy.
That's
Jack Johnson.
That's Bubbly Joe's, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That was his big song.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I just listened to his cover, Bad Fish. That's all I could think of. But he looks at Peter, and he was like, remember? And Peter's like, yeah. Because he's there. He's there on that world. And I... Again, the introduction of Mayday Parker
was great. She's awesome. And so in the last movie, Peter B. Parker was getting a divorce from Mary Jane, and they ended up salvaging their marriage. Yeah. And, you know, now we find out they had a kid.
Right. And I've got both appearances of little Mayday
Parker. She's adorable with her knitted Spider-Man mask.
Oh, yeah. She pulls it down.
Oh, my gosh. She's so cute.
I do like that MJ in that world is like, did you take her on an adventure? He's like, no. That's crazy. Yeah. That's insane. But when Gwen shows up and Peter's got Mayday strapped to his chest, and he was like, don't tell your mother. And she pulls her little
mask down. Thing down. That's so cute.
Yeah, it's pretty
She's
good.
She's like, it's on.
Yeah.
So anyway, now Miguel realizes we have to stop Miles from... Miles finds out his dad is about to become captain.
Correct.
And what always happens? Uncle dies, captain dies.
Yes.
And his dad's the captain. So, of course, he's going to go try to save him. 2099's like, we cannot let this happen. You know, it's for your own good. Like, we cannot. I knew this would be a mistake, him coming here, blah, blah. Trap him in a little device or whatever.
And earlier we were introduced to Hobie, which is one of my...
Daniel Kaluuya.
Yes. That's which awesome. Is one of my favorite... multiverse like in the Spider-Man PS4 game use that skin all the time. I love that version of Spider-Man.
Can't wait to watch this with the subtitles.
I know, and Daniel Kaluuya,
he's using his real accent.
He's using that thick ass British accent, and it is... even Bella went with me and she was like, what is he saying?
Yeah,
like,
it is tough.
You just got to try.
Also, was your guys' theater quiet? This movie, the way that it's like, you have to turn the sound up in the theater, and not all of them got the memo.
Oh no, I don't think it was quiet.
Well,
mine wasn't quiet.
That's good, but a lot of people are reporting problems, so the way they programmed it, because of all their different audio things, you have to turn it up and everything will be mixed right. And so Lord Miller printed even like bumper stickers and we're sending them projectionists and saying like, turn this up to a 7 and like even a 7.5 if you will.
Oh, really?
So it was a lot kind of quiet, so it was hard to understand and a little quiet.
And he is about as punk rock as you can get.
Oh, it's like, so cool. The
even the way he looks, like his look is great.
It's all the like cutout newspaper punk rock.
It's very
like he's made out of fanzines.
Yes,
flyers.
Yes, that's exactly it. And he's anti this whole thing. He's like, hey, man, I don't F this. I'm not doing all this stuff.
I don't know that I want to see a whole movie like in his world. I might have some kind of a seizure or
Bring
something.
Bring it on.
It's like, I mean, he's moving at like, I don't know, 10 frames a second or something.
Yeah.
It's just like...
He's great. It sounds like he's got some of the same powers that Miles has. We have yet to see a Spider-Man have the venom shock that Miles has. And Miles has always been using his fingertips to use it. So when he gets caught, Hobie's like, put your whole hand against the thing and it'll give you more of a thing. That's how he gets out of the spot. He puts his hands on there and knocks everybody out.
And it also, I don't know if you noticed, but Hobie was like stealing tech from the Spider-Man world the whole time. He was just like breaking things
but
off.
Also it's it's like so
Rocket
under
Raccoon.
It yeah, is kind of, but it's so under the radar because yeah, he's just like a punk kid. You think he's just stealing stuff, yeah, just to steal stuff.
But he ends up making a transporter for Gwen right, later on. Yeah.
So this is
that she uses when her dad, who already knows who she is, gives her the package when she comes back to visit him.
Which is why I think that yeah, right. This is where,
but this is the chase,
the big reveal.
This is
unbelievable. This scene is unreal.
The like 1,000 Spider-Men trying to catch Miles, and they're in this futuristic city where there's things flying around and shuttles, and I mean it is incredible.
There's spider people everywhere.
And the animation, you've got all the different styles. You have the camera moving around in ways.
You've got the animated spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah, that was weird. Okay. First of all, I love that show. I think it's on Disney Plus. Spectacular Spider-Man yeah, is a great show. When they showed him and he looks so little, I'm like, who is this kid? Like,
But isn't that probably close to the character model?
Maybe, but it threw me off. I know that show, and when I saw him, I'm like, who? I almost laughed. I'm like, who is that little Spider-Man? But it's the same voice and everything. Yeah, I just didn't realize it at the time. They don't have Spider-Man the Animated Series, the 94, the one that we grew up with.
Maybe they're saving it.
I hope, because I was looking for him the whole time. That's my Spider-Man that yeah, I grew up with, that cartoon, you know, with along with Batman.
Look, man, there's no Spider-Man 76. So
wait a minute. Yeah. The live action? Action? There was the 60s cartoon was in there, yeah.
Actually, it's funny. At one point, they all do the meme where they're all pointing at each other.
Oh, my
again.
Gosh. All groups of threes.
Yeah.
And
Bella goes, hey, I remember that. That's yeah, so he's on the run this entire time. And I think
he's luring them all away because he wants to use their tech back at HQ to send him home. And this is where the big twist comes in, because they explain the tech person is like, this sends all the villains back to their own time based on their DNA.
Right. Oh, we should say, when we're talking about villains, is we get an amazing cameo from Donald Glover.
Yeah.
From the MCU. Because he talks about his nephew is Miles.
In Homecoming, we see Donald Glover buying like
weapons,
tech from
right?
the Shocker, like those guys. And he's like, I think Peter shows up.
Yeah.
Tom Holland shows up, webs him to the trunk. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what do you do? He's like, I got ice cream in there. It's going to melt. And he makes a comment about his nephew lives in this area. And that's Miles.
And so we know it from the first movie, Miles' uncle is the Prowler.
Correct.
So here he is as the Prowler.
Dressed as the Prowler.
Right.
Like, and I was like, that's
great.
Love the fact that Donald Glover, who is very artsy.
Very.
And I loved Atlanta.
Yeah.
I watched it all the way through twice. I love that show.
That's Childish Gambino.
Yeah. And that he'll still do stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like, that's so.
Oh, yeah.
It's beneath him sounds like, but it's like.
Well, how do you pay for those Childish Gambino pressings? You know?
He could be doing so many other things that he still finds. He's clearly doing that because he finds pleasure.
Yes.
In it,
right.
Like, he's like,
to,
that's funny. I like that. I will be a
but
part
I also
of that.
Think he's a nerd, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Big time.
Absolutely.
And the fact that he is
part of what elevated his status is he did a thing where he's like, there should be a Black Spider-Man. It should be me.
Yeah.
And it went viral. And there was a minute there where people thought that they might do it.
That's why he dressed up as him in Community.
Yeah.
He was trying to vie for the position of Black Spider-Man.
And
I love that they keep including him in all of these things.
Yes. And I also, there's a great line in this one where Miguel is talking to Miles and he was like, don't even get me started on Doctor Strange and that moron Spider-Man from Earth 1652 or whatever. And it's like, well, that's definitely a reference to No Way Home. Like that's, you know, doing stuff like that. And I do also like that the tech is all like the cages and everything is the same color as the rift in No Way Home. I was like, that's a detail that like that's a super cut.
But definitely
I was
tying
like,
they're trying to tie everything together, which you gotta give them props for, because you know, there's some universes that don't do it very well. I think this one is being very smart with the way
I think the multiverse works in No Way Home.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see about The Flash.
Yeah.
I don't know about
you also get Ben Reilly.
Which voiced by Andy Samberg. Which, oh man, the way he is animated is exactly how I think of him. To the T.
I just wish they didn't make him such a doofus. Because Andy Samberg's doing the Andy Samberg thing.
But he's the 90s angsty Spider-Man.
Right.
Like, that's who he's supposed
still
to be.
It's a multiverse, Kevin. There can still be a cool Ben Reilly out there for you. It's okay.
Go read the comics because they brought him back.
Hey, doofuses need representation.
I know. It's just like, I'm just looking for, I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be cool Ben Reilly, but it's Andy Samberg doing the like doofy Andy Samberg voice. The same thing he does from Hotel Transylvania or Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Oh, no. I think he's like emo Spider-Man. He's angsty like...
The way I hear his voice, though, to me, sounded kind of doofy to me.
But. Well, I think probably twofold, right? Like, yeah. But he is like a 90s emo Spider-Man.
It was a little silly where I was thinking.
Also,
like,
can we get the fucking black suit just once? Just one time? Like, I know that actually, talking about costume designs, I think this is one of my favorite. I love the costume design from the first one.
Are you bleeding from your armpits?
Which is a good line. But also, I think this costume design is great. Yeah. It's so cool. It's sleek. It's got like, I do like the piping under the armpits and the glasses.
The word on the street is?
No.
So just like they brought Donald Glover into this movie.
Tom Holland is?
No, they're trying to find a Miles for the MCU.
That doesn't surprise me.
It will be the same. It will be the MCU, the Donald Glover's nephew one. So he'll exist. So they're not trying to make now a live action version of an animated version. You know what I mean? It will just literally be, these all coexist together.
But that's
we saw Venom. We saw MCU Donald Glover. We see cartoons and video games. So they're going to try to bring him. I mean, I think they'd be stupid not to.
Here's
with
the
success
thing.
Of this.
Tom Holland is going to quit. There's going to come a point where Peter Parker, this Tom Holland is going to be done.
Well, do you see? So, I mean, he made Cherry. He made.
That's true.
There's some other TV show that he's on right now. I think Apple, and it's got under 50% Rotten
Tomatoes.
What was the one?
Was Cherry the one?
It was the Apple TV one.
Yeah, but wasn't there another one we saw him in where like he was protecting his sister or something? Is that Cherry?
That's Cherry.
Oh, man. Okay.
So I'm just saying, I mean, I don't know. He may hang on to that role a little
longer.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, there's going to come a point where you're going to lose Tom Holland.
Just like Robert Downey Jr. and Chris, like, you're going to have to go to the next version, and Miles is already established.
Spider-Man's a character that you can't have a 40-year-old Spider-Man.
You can't. I think 30.
We saw that.
Yeah, right. and that worked, right? Like, it worked in that moment.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I think the oldest you can go with Spider-Man is, like, 25 to 30. Yeah. Because by 40, it's like, you haven't gotten your shit together yet?
Right.
Like, come on.
At some point, that's about your choice.
Yeah, right, right.
But I think it's really a smart move, though, to bring him in. Like you said, he eventually can take over and be the Spider-Man for the MCU. But this character's so popular, and look what they've done. The MCU would be foolish to not make a live-action version.
I wonder if they can.
Somewhere in a boardroom, somebody's like, works for Disney.
Yeah, but...
can't. It's the same thing with Sony on Spider-Man. They own Miles, too. They would have to partner with them.
Oh, yeah, they'd have to make
deal. That's what they're doing in this movie, is they're laying the groundwork. That's why they're bringing in. We saw Donald Glover in MCU.
Yeah.
You see Donald Glover in Sony. See Miles in MCU. They're cross-pollinating and laying the groundwork, which I think is great. It's not just let's throw this person here. It's like, oh, you remember back in Spider-Verse?
Yeah,
you
know? Right. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Smart.
We had that character.
Yeah.
And this is the big, I thought this was a really smart.
I say you bring the animated Miles Morales into the MCU.
Yeah. That would be insane.
And
Best way.
And you know how they do all their, like, their best movies have been like, what if we did a superhero movie, but it was in this genre?
Yeah, right.
We get a Roger Rabbit.
Who framed? Oh, I was gonna
my
say,
God.
Who framed Miles Morales?
Basically the next cut.
Hey, Bob Zemeckis, what do you got going on, bud? Want to come in? In all seriousness, I know that Lord and Miller have had their problems with Disney, with Solo and all that stuff. Give these guys Spider-Man. Like, I do think that they've got it. Like, I
don't know that they would,
right?
Because I think from their point of view,
why?
We got Spider-Man.
We got
Spider-Man.
Right?
I guess that's true.
I mean,
yeah.
You look at the box office. This isn't a lesser than.
No, they're doing it.
This is going to make, I mean.
Buku bucks.
It already outgrossed the entire theatrical run of the first movie.
Oh, did it really?
Opening weekend, or damn close.
Damn, that's awesome.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. I love that.
Like, it's day one beat its opening weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So he lures all the Spider-Men away. He gets back to the machine. It sends him back to the universe in his DNA.
We should say that this is the we're told initially that Miles is the first anomaly. He's like, Miguel tells him, you should not have, the spider that bit you came through the collider from another world. Mm-hmm. Your Spider-Man died because of you.
And they've
cross-pollinated, correct? Right? Like he has the spider powers from a different world.
Yes.
And
yes.
So the Spot, we find out, was doing those experiments at the Argus lab or whatever. What is the...
I can't call it Argus. That's DC.
Whatever the...
Alchemex.
Okay, yeah. So he sent that spider there. It bit Miles. But it's really interesting, and this is where you get that big, huge reveal, because there's two different multiverses at play with two Miles Morales. The spider came from this other universe.
Correct.
And where does Miles get sent back to based on his DNA?
One of the things about sequels is sometimes our characters don't grow, mm-hmm. right? Like they have this massive growth in the first movie,
yeah.
and then they revert back to who they were in the second movie just to do it all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where I feel like this one does feel very much like Empire in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Where
I also think movies, the good ones, have gotten better about that.
Yeah.
Of taking these characters and what happened in the first movie and saying what would happen next instead of let's just repeat what happened again.
I think that's all part of the, like, you know, without home video type of thing, and they would, let's make Airplane 2 and right. do it again. Let's, you yeah. know, like, that's just...
Yeah, because you, I mean, that used to be how sequels worked, right? Yeah. They were just rehashes because you couldn't go see the original whenever you wanted to.
Right, right.
So
now they're actually carrying through, and you're right.
But I think it's also because so many of them are by writers who come from TV.
Sure.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Since TV by its nature is episodic, I think they're more like... Well, you don't just shoot a pilot and then reshoot a pilot. Mm-hmm. Like,
You continue the story.
You tell the next story, you know?
Yeah.
And one of the directors of this movie is from Pixar. He directed Soul.
Okay.
They brought in Kent Powers, director of Soul, and maybe co-director. I know Pixar has two directors a lot of times. And Joaquin Dos Santos.
And what has he got behind him?
Voltron, Legendary Defender, which is the Netflix show, two episodes. Legend of Korra for Nickelodeon, 12 episodes.
Okay.
Superman Shazam, the animated...
That's a good one.
Yep, the animated one, director.
That is a good one.
Green Arrow, 2010, not sure.
That was a Showcase short.
Yeah, Jonah Hex, DC Showcase, yeah, Showcase Spectre shorts. Showcase.
Which those are all real good.
So animation, I mean, you know, he's got a lot of superhero animation.
Yeah.
Justice League Unlimited, that second Justice League, director 20 episodes.
That's a good show.
So,
that's a good show.
There you go.
When Miguel reveals this, we find out that all of Miles' friends knew. Peter was the first anomaly. He looks at Gwen. Did you know? Yes, I knew. Looks at Peter. Did right. you know? Yes, I knew.
Which is why Gwen couldn't come and get close to him. She knew that, like, if she does anything, it could change the whole. She's right. been already, I don't want to say indoctrinated, but I mean, Miguel has told her, like, this is the deal. We're saving these multiverses, so mm-hmm. you cannot go mess this stuff up.
And Miles is left alone. He basically tells everybody to fuck off, and I'm going by myself. And
that was their one F-bomb.
That was everybody, their one F-bomb. Yeah. Off, I'm out. So Miles, you know, uses the tech.
I cannot believe this movie's PG.
It's pretty yeah. crazy.
This is the most insane. You know, we talk about sometimes, wow, that's a heavy PG. This is PG.
Yeah, yeah. Right,
how
right.
is this not PG-13?
I mean, does she say, oh,
I don't think so.
I thought there was themes. This is a dark movie at times.
It is a dark movie. I can't point to any one thing that would make it not PG, but like, it's very heavy.
It's...
They're pushing
the boundaries of PG.
I cannot believe that. It just blew me away when someone was talking about it.
I feel like when they got their PG, they were just like, okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Everybody back out of office real quiet.
It's so funny. You think of the MPAA and how they would go after, you know, in the 80s and 90s, they would go after Friday the 13th. Yeah. Like, this is too much. It's anything. Too, you know, you can't
release this.
Or Scream. Yeah. It's like, you got to tone down the violence.
Now you can do anything.
They're just like, yeah, man, whatever. Yeah, that's cool. So Miles goes back to his world, and we see his mom, and...
Miles goes back to a world.
That's true. He goes back to a world.
Because what DNA does he have in him?
But we didn't know that.
I know. This is the twist, right?
And even, I remember there's a moment where he's walking through, which talks about, you took your hair is different.
Right.
And I looked at Bella, and I go, he's not on the right world. And she was like, no, that's not that. Because we see Gwen. We see Gwen also in Peter Parker's world.
Cutting back and forth seamlessly where you would never know until the reveal.
Right.
But you think, well, Gwen's there.
You
but
just
then,
assume that they're in the same world.
But then you start seeing that, oh, they're not in the same place.
Because here comes his aunt Jefferson Pierce. No, that's Black Lightning. Is that his name? Doesn't matter. His uncle. His uncle, And you're just like...
His uncle's name is Uncle Aaron?
Uncle Aaron.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
His dad's name's Jefferson.
That's it.
Also, just shout out to Brian Tyree Henry, yeah, the dad. He's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I also wondered if he played a role in getting Donald Glover on board.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, from Atlanta.
Because he's Paperboy in Atlanta.
Yeah, in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, very possible.
So we see Jefferson. Nope, Aaron. And you're like, oh, no. You're not where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you think that things are okay. Miles references his dad. And
because
his mom.
You're like, well, maybe in this world, his uncle isn't a criminal.
Right.
And isn't a bad guy. Like, maybe this is a reset.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, it's exactly right. He references his dad. He's like, hey, where's dad? And his mom kind of like shoots him a look and says something but doesn't allude to where we are. Then Miles is walking with Aaron up, and Aaron's like, do you have the plans? Is this thing still good to go? And he was like, yes, everything is good to go. And he's like, you took your braids out. And Miles is just like, I'm just trying something new. Yeah. And they end up on this roof and Miles gets knocked out.
And so, as soon as he shows up and you realize that we're not seeing the other Miles, because clearly he's not the one they're talking about, I'm like,
uh-oh.
Oh, he's the prowler in this universe.
Yeah. So as Miles like turns around, where in Miles's world, it's a mural to Aaron. Mm. In this world, it's a mural to his dad.
Yeah.
And then you see the prowler comes and knocks him out.
Yeah. And he wakes up and he's talking to Aaron. And, he's like, look,
Aaron's like got the glove on. So you're like,
maybe.
But someone else just knocked him out. So, it wasn't him. Aaron was there, but.
And he's like tied to a punching bag. And the bag swings around and finally he's like, look, I don't care if you're the prowler. And he was like, I'm not the prowler.
And you see the prowler come in.
And then, he's like perched up on like a, in the ceiling. Basically, he drops down, the mask comes away. And in this world, Miles is the prowler.
So this is so cool because thinking back to the first movie, the spider that bit our Miles is bugging out.
Yeah.
Because he's in the wrong universe.
Right.
So, I mean.
Like he's glitching.
We didn't even question it.
Right.
We're just like, oh, this movie has cool animation stuff.
Right.
And that spider's weird, so it's glitching.
Right.
He's glitching because he's in the wrong universe. He bites him. So that spider came from this universe.
And didn't bite
And didn't bite Miles.
Or whoever it was supposed to be.
What I'm thinking is Miles is destined to become Spider-Man, but he didn't get bit and he turned into the prowler.
I don't know though, because
they're saying that Miles is the anomaly.
It just seems like almost all the other Spider-Men have a name variation of Peter Parker.
Hobie?
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it just seems like so many of them do.
That's true.
I didn't know if that was the explanation of why we get a Miles all the time.
Yeah.
So the point is this is just storytelling 101. The stuff that Miguel tells him, he is worthy. He's not an anomaly. That's going to be unraveled.
Well, I think he's an anomaly in that spider wasn't supposed to bite him.
But we're going to find out it was. You know what I'm saying?
He was supposed to be bitten later.
Or this, it wasn't supposed to be Miles. This was supposed, in this world, the one that's supposed to be doing all of this stuff was supposed to be Peter Parker.
Well, either way, there's supposed to be a spider.
Well, there was already a Peter Parker in this world.
But he dies
because
of the spider biting Miles.
Yeah.
That's the chain of events is the spider comes through, bites Miles, and then the universe corrects itself and kills that Peter Parker.
Yeah.
So it's just really interesting now of all the things you're thinking about is, was that Miles supposed to be bitten or was he not? Was this spider always destined to go to our Miles?
Right.
It just opens so many questions, which I think is great because it's a cliffhanger that leaves you thinking, not just what the hell is happening? Now we can go back to the first.
It's
and
not
go,
just a fast 10 cliffhanger where the story stops.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
It reveals a bunch of stuff. And then, it does it right.
Yeah, questions, right? You're
right.
Left
Fast
with
10, they just stop the story.
Yeah,
which I was thankful for.
Well, yes, thankful that we're not still there.
But I love that we can theorize about this. Now, it's interesting. So if you go back, and I was watching some clips, in the very beginning of the movie.
Of the first one or this one?
This one, Gwen is actually narrating stuff that we haven't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen in the movie. And one of them, when she talks about, I think the spider is like a black and white drawing and it's Miles with braids and the spider next to him.
Oh, really?
Which that tells me that spider was supposed to bite Miles.
Okay.
Could have been. Sends him on the wrong path because there's no Spider-Man and then crime goes rampant and all that. But that's the giveaway right there.
Okay.
Which obviously I should have led with, but I was just thinking crap. So we see it. It's like in this movie at the beginning that you would not thought anything of, black and white sketch. Miles with dreads, spider next to him.
Interesting.
So okay. I think there's going to be something in the next movie revealed with Miles is destined to be Spider-Man.
Miles.
Well,
or a Miles.
The point is, Miguel's saying there's no such thing as a Miles Morales Spider-Man. It's never meant to be. And I think the next movie will prove that there are multiverse where Miles is destined to be Spider-Man.
Okay.
He just happened to get it in the wrong multiverse, but he is worthy, and Miles do become Spider-Man. You know, I don't know. I think that's my guess.
Yeah, that could be. Totally. So Gwen, we find out that Gwen is on Miles' planet Earth. Either way. And she says, she's like, look, she's talking to, I think, his mom.
Yeah.
Because,
and we didn't mention, but like, there's a big contention between Miles and his parents because they think he's being a slacker teenager with attitude and stuff. But he's doing the Peter Parker thing we always see. I mean, he's dealing with a lot of crap. He has to be Spider-Man and is trying to go to his guidance counselor and trying to go to his dad's celebration party. But he has to fight people, you know.
I think the cake bit is really funny.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he has like this big cake and he's got like all this thing. I'm not proud. Yeah. Is like when it lands, it's like, oh God. And yeah, like Gwen's like, look, we got work to do, basically. Yeah. And she goes and she realizes that she was wrong, and she goes to Peter Parker with May and recruits him, and she goes to and says, we got to help Miles. And then I think that's the only one we see. She gets Spider-Man of India. She gets Spider-Punk.
Margot, the hologram one.
Oh, yeah.
That does let him go, played by Amanda Stenberg. She was in The Hate U Give and what was the horror movie we just watched? The one that was really cool that had the reveal that we didn't anticipate.
Oh, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies?
Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. She was in that.
Yeah.
She's another new one from this world. Hobie.
Spider-Punk.
Peter and Porker.
And then we get our
Spider-Man Noir and
what's the robot one?
The mech spider
Penny
team.
Parker.
Penny Parker. Okay. Yes. You've got a whole spider team ready to go to help Miles in however they can. And they've got like the transponder that Hobie made is like
from all the stolen parts, so they can travel now. So this is awesome.
Spectacular. It's sensational. It's amazing. Everything.
A quick voice highlights. I just want to point out, because we didn't mention some that deserve it. Shameik Moore as Miles, I think he does an amazing job voicing this character.
Yeah. I think they did a good job of, his voice hasn't changed, right? Like, I thought that he was younger when he did that first one, but he's not.
Yeah,
like,
no,
his
he's
voice
not
has
that
not
young.
Changed,
no,
right?
Like, right. Yeah. But I think as an actor, I think he does a great job with this character. Mm-hmm. This is a very emotional role, and there's some tear-jerking moments in this movie, mm-hmm. like with the parents and stuff.
There's
like
a lot of legit acting in this.
Yes.
There is, right. And so I think he does a great job. Hailee Steinfeld is back as Gwen. She's excellent. Oscar Isaac is Miguel. We mentioned Jake Johnson. Issa Rae is Jessica Drew. We mentioned Sandberg, Kaluuya, Schwartzman is the bad guy. Brian Tyree Henry is the dad. Dopinder. Mahershala Ali plays Uncle Aaron again.
Oh, does he?
Yep, so he's back. Big name.
Blake.
Jack Quaid plays Peter Parker.
So I was wondering which Peter Parker? Is he Lego Spider-Man?
He might be Lego Spider-Man. And I want to say, I got one of the biggest laughs in the movie. Lego Spider-Man calls Miguel and tips him off about something. He goes, thank you, Peter. You're one of our best. He's a Lego. I think that is one of the funniest under-delivered lines ever. You're one of our best. And it's a freaking Lego.
That's pretty great.
I turned around and go, what is a Lego going to do in this? And he's on the dashboard when they're all assembling and they're on Peter parked car.
Yeah.
The little Lego is,
on
the
dashboard.
Oh, is he
on there? That's
he's
pretty
there,
good.
But he's so small. But that's what I mean. He's little. And I think that's a great line. You're one of our best.
One of our best.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is so dumb. He plays Gwen's that dies.
That's
Jack Quaid, the lizard.
Okay.
If we have a Lego Spider-Man, then it means that we've kind of already had our first DC Marvel crossover.
Kinda.
Because we already have a Lego Batman.
A Lego Batman.
Yeah.
And they didn't even know it.
Yeah. There you go. J.K. Simmons as J.
I do
Jonah
love
Jameson
it. Like, look, man.
Every single time.
Raimi got it right. We're just going to roll with it.
Because who else would ever, he is. Remember when we watched the first Spider-Man? I mean, separately, but when we all watched it and we go like, that's J. Jonah Jameson. Yeah.
Right.
Like,
there's never been better casting.
I think it's the best casting of any movie of all time. Katherine Hahn is, I think.
Should we see her for a little bit? For Octavia.
As the Octavia, there's just so many of them. And Gonke, I didn't realize this. Gonke is voiced by Peter Sohn, who is a Pixar director, which I think the guy that directed this, brought him in. But it's just interesting that they bring in a lot of people from these different.
I find it hilarious that in the MCU, Ned is Gonke. Like, it's the same character, same racial tone, like it's all the same. And then they reintroduce him again in this world,
right?
But he doesn't look the same. Like Gankei has always kind of been kind of like
the Ned,
the chubby best friend guy. Yeah. But it is, and I was like, man, that is hilarious.
Yeah,
that they did that. And I kept waiting for the Tom Holland cameo. It must be in the second one. It's got to be in the second one.
Tom Holland, you got to pay Tom Holland money, and they were like, it's not worth it just to give
him. I think he's in it.
What?
I think he. I mean, not that it's been confirmed, but I'm like, he's.
Oh. Well, maybe they didn't want to pay him twice. What I'm saying is that, like, they said, you want Tom Holland for this Spider-Verse? You know, I'm not going to pay him $3 million to flash a clip of him. You know what I'm saying?
Tom
Holland is the one that demands, like, the money.
Yeah, you're not going to get an Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire clip.
Right. Yeah, they may have be saving it, and I definitely would not surprise me. If they're trying to connect them all, it would make sense.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, this is incredible. Like, it's the fact that it's also kind of mind-boggling that Disney hasn't tried to animate something. You know what I mean? Like
their own Spider-Man?
Not even Spider-Man, but like you have so many other characters that could lend themselves to an animated film.
I think that they're so focused on the MCU that they don't want to or need to.
I guess,
and the animated stuff is...
What If stuff is animated, right?
I was going to say,
they've done all that. There are two Star Wars...
I just mean the Marvel stuff. I mean, but... Oh. Yeah, I mean, maybe not doing their own Spider-Verse, but I think there are all kinds of characters that could lend themselves. Yeah, but that's true. The What If stuff is animated. That's fair.
Yeah, so that's it for this one. Let's go on the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21, also on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
This is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Cross shoots Agent Flanagan in the heart. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.